Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Bundy Celebration Party. We're the first radio.
Yeah.
going to make a quick explanation of what the headliner topic is tonight. Ben is already holding, and hopefully John and Don will call in. I briefly heard from Albert. We don't know. Less than 1 month after the United States District Judge Gloria Navarro declared a mistrial in the case against Cliven Bundy, his two sons and self-styled militiaman named Ryan Payne, Navarro has dismissed the charges entirely. The decision today puts an end to the federal case against the four men for their role in the 2014 armed standoff with cattle grazing rights in Nevada. Navarro found that the prosecution had committed flagrant misconduct by withholding evidence that could have supported the defendant's case. By the way, they also taunted them in the field and pointed guns at them, among other things. I'm going to let Ben fill in the details on that. Namely, Navarro explained that federal prosecutors had failed to disclose information from cameras recording video from the standoffs and the presence of federal snipers around the Bundy Ranch. Navarro ruled that as a result, the men who had been slapped with felony, conspiracy, and firearm charges could not receive a fair trial. I'm going to jump down to another piece of the segment. As the two-way reported last month, the attempts to prosecute the Bundys have met up with multiple failures. Ammon and Ryan Bundy, along with several other co-defendants, were acquitted last year on similar but separate charges for their role in the 2016 armed occupation of Oregon's Malheur National Wildlife Refuge, while two of the fellow occupiers were later convicted on federal conspiracy charges. The brother Bundys had successfully argued that they were simply exercising their First and Second Amendment rights during that 41-day standoff. They remained on the hook for charges related to the 2014 Nevada standoff, though prosecutors there experienced several starts and stops of their own before a mistrial was declared. Of the six other men who faced a trial for their role in the 2014 confrontation, only two were convicted. That's just pretty much a run-of-the-mill summary. I'm going to pull in Ben. Good evening.
Oh.
Don is slightly AWOL. He said, Don said they're expecting a large amount of snow in Reno, and John might be working. He texted me at 5 p.m. CST time. I don't know what's going on. I would like to hear your commentary since you're an expert in the field.
All right. I'm glad there was finally that this. Obviously, the government proved themselves guilty of everything they were trying to prove the Bundys guilty of. And it seems like even after they were acquitted, the narrative is still that they're self-styled militiamen. And that's what basically brought on the changing narrative in the first place. If you look at the photos and the video, it's mostly friends of that family, acquaintances. There was a handful of people that came from different militia groups, and I think mostly they just stood around Cliven Bundy in front of him because they heard there was snipers already casing the house. And that proved to be true, and that was one of the Brady violations that the prosecutor wouldn't allow into the courtroom, or wouldn't provide the information. The judge actually asked him for it in the third trial.
Yeah, the three things that stood out, we've done about three shows on this in the last 6 months. The three things that stood out for me is that The Bundy family, it was like a third-generation ownership, and the laws surrounding cattle grazing and grazing rights changed over a 50-year to 60-year period, and what they were doing wasn't really threatening the surrounding area or the environment. In fact, the Bundy family improved the irrigation in that area. The second thing is, I remember reading an article that one of the Bundy family members, and I don't know if it was his grandson or nephew, but someone who had a physical or mental disability of some sort, got roughed up by one of the fads. And my final factor was the stuff that we talked about just a few short weeks ago, how the federal agents grossly mishandle themselves and their respect for the Mormon community, and trying to, that suicide scare, which I don't have in front of me right now, so I'm kind of winging it.
Right. Well, there's a discrepancy with that because, yeah, of course, it sounded really bad from the Wooten file. It sounded like they all hated Mormons, and this was basically a sting operation to target people with land. But Harry Reid was also the Bundy's neighbor, and he happens to be a Mormon too. He was the one that wanted to legislate drone striking. He wanted to make it legal to drone strike Americans because of the Bundys. And Rand Paul stood in his way on that.
Good Lord. Yeah, I just read one excerpt from the July 2013 District Court? The District Court of the U.S. District Court in Nevada ruled, it is further ordered that Bundy is permanently enjoined from trespassing on the new trespass lands. It is further ordered that the U.S. is entitled to protect the new trespass lands against this trespass and all future trespasses. It is further ordered that Bundy shall remove his livestock from the lands within 45 days hereof, and the U.S. is entitled to seize, remove, or impound any of the Bundy cattle. So I just have an overall question, because we did this show 3 times over the last 7 or 8 months. Was there a federal reason why they wanted them off this land or to seize the land? Did it have anything to do with mining?
There's speculation. There was land deals between Harry Reid and his son and the Chinese for solar. There's also a lot of minerals there, but in the 90s they changed the. So I think they designated it as protected for the desert tortoise and.
Oh yes, I did read that.
Yeah, so they changed some stipulations, and I think they raised the price, and that's when Clive and Bundy basically said, no, I'm not paying that. And he was basically coming from state of Nevada.
He knows the law.
Right. So that was his argument, and he actually, I don't know what it was, if he filled out a form
or
something.
I have it in front of me now. It's the 1783 Equality Clause that they wanted to defend themselves through. It's a property clause. Let me just read one highlight.
Yeah.
Okay, so there was a property clause which states that the Congress has the power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting territory or other property belonging to the U.S. Now, that's the Fed side. The Bundy proponents cited the Equality Clause, which established in 1783, would apply. The claim by Gardeners that it is the duty of the U.S. to hold public lands in trust for the formation of future states, blah, 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 blah. The decision, okay, I haven't gotten to the nitty-gritty yet, just a minute. I just remember when you mentioned I'll have to look it up. Why don't you just keep talking? I'm sorry.
Okay. So the desert tortoise move was a sneaky move, and that's one that you can see happening all over the country, mostly in the West. They can designate any land for any living, life form that they say is endangered, and for any reason. And I think this case was really important because they finally went up against somebody that can actually fight back with the law. The Bundys actually knew what they were talking about, and that's why they stood so firm, is because they could back it up with the Constitution and other documents that they found. And this should have been a court case before there was ever troops on the ground. But
I did find something kind of interesting that is kind of an advocacy for the other side, too. Supposedly, the Bundy land was U.S. government property since it was taken back from Mexico in 1848. As shown, the U.S. government property, the Bundys claimed that they had occupied it for 130 years. But in fact, a local Las Vegas television station revealed that Bundy's parents moved from Arizona to Nevada and bought the 160-acre ranch in 1948 from its previous owners. The Bundys wouldn't begin using this land for cattle grazing until the 50s. And a recent video released by Bundys repeats the erroneous ancestral claiming that the Bundy family owned the land for 130 years. Now, David and Bodell Bundy bought it on January 5th, 1948. The purchase included the transfer to the Bundys of certain water rights, including water from the nearby Virgin River. And I remember there was some discrepancy on how they could own that river land.
So you would have to look at the paperwork from the deed. If the grazing rights were still part of the property that they purchased, it wouldn't matter what year. If it was in 1948, then that's after the antiquities. But it still falls under what the first part of that paragraph was false. It wasn't federal land, or it wasn't supposed to be, according to the
Constitution. Well, it was supposed to be reclaimed land from one of the wars.
Well, that's false, because it says clearly in the Constitution that once a territory becomes a state, then the government is bound by certain things that it can own.
Well, I found something else kind of interesting. Clive and Bundy paid from all the way from, like, you know, the 70s up until 1993, and that's when he stopped paying. And it was the rates increased under an executive order by Ronald Reagan in 1986. The Secretaries of Agriculture and the Interior are directed to exercise their authority to the extent permitted by law under various statutes to establish fees for domestic livestock grazing on public rangelands, which includes annually the $1.23 base established by the 1966 Western Livestock Grazing Survey, blah, 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 blah. Well, anyways, it went up 25%. But
right.
I found the part that you were talking about. Let me just repeat that. I know I'm sounding kind of random, but it is because of Harry Reid and the Chinese solar farm deal, the Why the Bundy Ranch, What You're Not Being Told video. Ignoring the 20 years of illegal cattle grazing and the numerous court battles that Bundy lost, conspiracy theorists have made the argument that this is somehow in connection with a 2012 ENN Energy Group proposal to build a $5 billion solar farm, and panel manufacturing plant in Nevada. The problem with this connection is that Laughlin, where the solar farm was going to be built, resides about 100 miles south of the Golden Butte area, where the point of contention lies. The Lanfang China-based ENN Energy Group's hopes to build what was the largest solar complex in America. The site chosen with Rory Reed's, that must be Harry Reid's son, guidance in a tiny Laughlin, Nevada gambling town of 7,300 along the Colorado River, 90 miles south of Vegas. There is at least one video where the Bundy Ranch, not being told, claimed that the solar farm was to be built where the Bundy Ranch is. The video site said in the Reuters article, blah, 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 the solar farm was to be built in Laughlin, Nevada, and of course the video provides no link to the actual article.
Right.
So do you think it is a conspiracy theory, or was it tied to special interest?
I think it's absolutely true. That's funny that it's Reuters. RT was the one that released the video of the body cam footage from the BLM. I don't know what they were. They were military. Those were the militants. And you could hear him saying, like, you can hear the guy talking to the guy with the camera on, saying, "You're my lethal." And in gun terms, that means he's a sniper. You better, like, if he says, shoot
to
kill, and that's
the guy. You're my lethal means you're my target?
You're my lethal means that he's going to be watching when they have a conversation, and if he says something, the guy's going to shoot somebody.
That's pretty scary. I did watch the PBS Frontline thing about it way back in July, but some of the details I can't remember.
In that same video, you can hear the people, the officers, joking about who they're going to shoot first. And that wasn't allowed in the courtroom. So that's one of the Brady violations that they're talking about. The reason why it's dismissed is because that would have had to be shown in court. How bad would that have been?
It would have been terrible because it seemed like the federal agents were losing their resilience and they were just ready to use violence to solve the problem versus diplomatic measures. No, I just want
to
read one more glitch about this Chinese solar thing. The Bureau of Land Management removed a cached page that tied the BLM to solar projects. The taking down of the BLM site, Northeast Clark County Cattle Trespass page, has caused some conspiracy theorists to assume foul play. Namely, they believe that this sentence is revealing. NGOs or non-government organizations have expressed concern that the regional mitigation strategy for the Dry Lake Solar Energy Zone utilizes Gold Butte as the location for the on-site migration for impacts from solar. This is apparently a smoking gun for anyone subjectively trying to find some new world order conspiracy, and it is confusing for someone trying to objectively understand what it actually means. Fortunately, the wildlife news translates for the rest of us. This is the bureaucratic language means that private groups like the Western Watersheds Project, Friends of Nevada Wilderness, etc., don't think the solar power damage elsewhere can be mitigated here at the Gold Butte because the cattle will tromp all over it and ruin the solar project. Yes, but Bundy's cattle stomping on the solar projects that Harry Reid wanted so much, I don't know. It sounds kind of cheesy. I'm not going to read the rest of it. So they were scared that the cattle were going to ruin the implementation of the solar project.
Well, they just wanted them out of the way. They knew that there was
going
to be a confrontation.
Right, that's what I mean. Basically, the whole thing, I mean, I guess what I was excited about is because you're the one who drew this story into our radio network. And you, not you single-handedly, but supporters of the Bundy family achieved victory today. Because remember, there was also that video that the FBI went in there posing as documentary filmmakers, and they were going to interview people who supported the Bundys, and they entrapped one guy and then slapped federal charges on him. And they were going to indict him, too. And that fell through the cracks when the information was revealed.
Yeah, well, the government has spent a lot of money on, between this and Oregon, it's unbelievable how much money has been dumped into this, whether it's the federal troops, the command center, all the vehicles they had to move, the informants they had to pay, the undercover agents they had to pay. And it's just ridiculous. And all these court cases, you know, that costs a lot. I guess
a lot of money. One thing I wanted to point out is there was something you mentioned about Gloria Navarro. Is she from the district court that had influence in the Muslim ban? In other words, is she a liberal or a conservative?
Well, she started out more like a liberal. I think she was forced to point out how bad the prosecution violated their rights, even though she let the violations continue. They should have never been incarcerated. That's a violation right there. And then all the violations on top of that, the things that were done to them when they were in jail. She allowed
plus,
all that.
For a long time, they didn't have actual charges, correct? Like they were held without charges, right?
No, they had a long list of, they had probably pages of charges. And one by one, they got, you know, destroyed in court. And Ryan represented himself. He was
well,
the lawyer.
Well, up in the Northern District, yeah, they won those cases, and then it was thrown out last year. I mean, in 2016, actually, it was thrown out. But then there was still two people that had there were only two people ever charged of federal violations, from what I read on the recap today.
Right. And one of them's
well,
going
I just
to jail
soon. You know, I basically, I thought Don and John might be able to call in, but I just wanted to do a recap of this issue. Just to, you know, for our audience, just so that they could have some third or fourth news source beyond what they normally hear talk about this kind of stuff.
Right. And there's going to be criticism if the Bundys jump right back into the rest of the story and start pushing again. People are going to criticize them because they just got let off of something huge. I could see.
Well, I'm disappointed to tell you on Facebook, when CBS posted the article about the federal case dismissal, about 85% of the comments said that they were men of white privilege who went gunpoint to gunpoint after the feds, and they were let off. And if it were a black family trying to defend their land, they would have been gunned down, blah, 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 white privilege, white privilege, white privilege.
Yeah, well, I've been studying this for 2 years, and I've seen those comment boards. It's an echo chamber. There's people out there that a lot of them have an agenda, and a lot of them just don't even know. I mean, how many of those people do you think did any research? They just look at
That's
the headline and they form an opinion.
I wrote a comment on the board, and I said that none of you really understand the full case, and then I listed about six of the facts that we've been discussing over four shows, including the federal investigators' bizarre behaviors, and that they don't have any clue, and that it was a loss of property rights. It had nothing to do with white privilege. I'm sure I'll be getting some comments later in the evening.
Well, I've found that there's a hard line drawn when somebody actually comes at the Bundy case with hate. They've drawn a hard line. They've chose a side, even if it doesn't matter about the facts. They deem them as enemies. And if they're actually looking at the case, I mean, we are the people, whether we're on the opposite side of each other or not, it's still, we have a government that's huge. And the whole point of splitting the population down into manageable sections is to piss them off at each other. The anger is at the other people, not the not the system coming down on you. So if people could
realize that, maybe it would. When you think about
it,
all these people commenting on social media, most of them don't have any type of grasp of what it is to own large acreage on public or even private lands in the far west, how to manage those lands, and what their water and grazing rights are. So I just was looking for some more intelligent commentary, because the stories that you've sent me through YouTube, it was kind of a camaraderie and a defense team between the state representative, the person who was airing the radio broadcast, and those people were like citizens unite, you know, like they were united as citizens to fight the powers that be. And to me, that was inspirational.
Right. Well, you know, I didn't do that on purpose. The only thing was is that if I tried to find somebody that was from another news organization, you try and find center news people, and I kept finding things that were completely false. I mean, there'd be a lie and then an opinion, and then a lie and an opinion, and then a fact and then a lie. And so I couldn't find anybody that had the agenda to push. So I actually started looking for people that showed the documents and read them and gave court updates, because those were the people, yeah, they were supporters, but they actually they showed you the information. They told you who was responsible.
Yeah, I should have looked up that state representative's Facebook page tonight where he had those authentic documents. That would have been helpful. The other thing I just want to throw in there, you know, Nevada's had a lot of controversy versus land. They had a nuclear waste dump called Yucca Mountain. And one of my professors at Cal State Northridge did a book on that. Nevada's kind of like a tricky area as far as how they manage their lands out there. And for some, it is kind of a wasteland. And for others, you know, like the Bundy family itself, it has value.
Right. And owning the Air Force base and the testing grounds and stuff is completely covered in the Constitution. It says they can. But to go around designating certain areas as off limits for this or that reason is not in the Constitution. And I think the next thing that's going to be pushed is for Trump to sign back over the Gold Butte area, because that's what caused a lot of this, and it's still federal land now. The Gold Butte Monument.
Yeah, I
is,
noticed it leans over to the New Mexico side of the border. It's on the eastern side of the state. The southeastern side of the state. So
right.
That's something that maybe we could explore for next week's topic. I will have the premium up and running. And basically, I think Don got caught up with some kind of family matter, and John must be at work. But we do have about 5 minutes left for the show. So do you have any remaining comments?
No, I'm a little bit of faith and a lot of work. I'm glad they got exonerated, finally. I mean, it took a long time.
And where are their cattle now? Are they still on their land? And are they in a limited region of their land?
I don't know how many cattle they have left. A lot of them were slaughtered by the helicopter. They had helicopters out there. They were shooting them. They buried them in mass graves. A lot of them got killed. So I don't know how many they even have left.
That's pretty depressing. Well, I'm going to try to do some. NPR did a full 1-hour segment tonight, but Unfortunately, I wasn't in my car when it happened. But
watch the RT, the body cam footage. That'll really show you the ground at the time. What caused a lot of the tension? RT.
We also have
it.
If we are going to talk about this later in the week, like in 5 days, I should get more details of the 18-page memo by Assistant U.S. Attorney General Special Agent Larry Wooten that we've talked about only briefly on other shows. But I haven't gotten to the heart or the meat of potatoes of that memo, just stuff that you sent for highlights.
I'm going to look for a response. Matt Shea read the Wooten file, and he said he was sending a letter to the Assistant Attorney General, and I can't remember his name. But I'd like to know if there was a response to that. I'd love to read that.
Because
things happened
that
quick after that.
Meyer, I think one of his superiors was named Meyer, M-Y-H-R-E. And at first, when Wooten spent 2 years and 10 months examining the case, he said that the BLM supervisors made a mockery of our position of our special trust and confidence, ignoring the law and jeopardizing the trials. Not only did Mr. Meyer, in my opinion, not want to know or seek evidence favorable to the accused, he and my supervisor discourages the reporting of such issues, blah, 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 blah. Nothing. We'll have to look into it, but I do want to mention two topics that I'm going to bring up Sunday night. One topic is St. Paul, Minnesota is the capital of Minnesota. About 30 miles north of there, in a city called Taylor's Falls, 3 men were kicked out of a choir in a Catholic church because the priest in the church discovered that they were in same-sex marriages. So I think it kind of sounded like an interesting case that I thought maybe we could discuss. And there were a couple other stories popping up on the horizon this week, which now I seem to have slipped my mind. So
okay.
How was your work day? Did you work a lot of hours today?
Yep. More demo. I was loading the dump trailer. We're destroying a beautiful house still. Oh,
and
it's not beautiful anymore.
And what's the purpose of that? Is there rebuilding?
Yep. It's going to be big and great and beautiful when we're done.
Well, have you had a lot of precipitation out there this week?
Yeah, it's been raining.
Well, our temperature jumped from about -9 3 days ago up to 32 now. So we're in pretty good shape right now. I'll inform you a Sunday night show, and hopefully I'll get a chance to see a few more videos because this is my off week. I have more time off, and we'll try to have a more cohesive show on Sunday then. And thank you for joining me. The episode's going to end in about 2 minutes. Do you have any final comments?
Nope. Thanks.
Okay, well, God bless and
evening.
Take care. I'll end it with one of John's songs, okay?
All right.
Good night.
Good night.
Whenever I will call, we humbly bow before you. We love to praise and adore you. We humbly bow before the throne. We Door.